Well, if you don't know, if you've got a bulletin, or maybe you didn't get a bulletin, you don't know what's going on today. Today is an exciting day that we are ordaining one of our very own, one of our brothers in Christ, one of my dear friends, as a minister of the gospel today. So just to give a little background, Dwayne, I'd ask if you just stand up for a minute, just so everybody knows who we're talking about. Give a little wave to everybody. All right. This is Dwayne Phillips, and I just want to give you a little bit of background. His wonderful, beautiful wife, Brenda, is sitting beside him. His son, Luke, plays the drums. Jesse, where are you at? Out there somewhere? Jesse's raising her hand like this. Raise your hand up. That's Jesse. And then Levi. I see Levi over here sitting between Dwayne and Brenda. That's his family. This is his family, but I'm just so thankful that he's a part of, that all of you are a part of our family here at Fork Union Baptist. Just a little background. I have known the Phillips, our family has known Dwayne and Brenda and the kids for about 7 years, something like that. We went to church at Antioch Baptist Church together, and he's been here at Fork Union, their family, for about 3 years, something like that, I would think, because I think I'd been here almost a year, and I'm coming up on my fourth year, which is crazy, in April. But contrary to belief, I did not recruit them to leave the church that I grew up in to come here. I didn't say, hey, y'all should leave that church and come to my church. That didn't happen. God actually, you know, Dwayne came to me and told me, he said, I feel led that I need to come be a part of what God is doing there at Fork Union Baptist Church. And I said, well, I'm not going to try to recruit you. I'm not going to steal you from another church because we're not in competition or anything like that. But I'm not going to stop you either, because if God's calling you, then we welcome you, and we welcome you with open hands. It's just been such a blessing to have you guys here over the last couple of years. Just to give you a little idea of some of the things that Dwayne has been involved with, just in the short time that he's been here, just to edify what we're doing today and why we're doing it today. Dwayne has been faithful to fill this pulpit when I'm not here, or maybe to share his testimony like he did back in the fall when we were outside, and that's where he actually publicly felt led to surrender to the ministry and say, look, I don't know what God's going to call me to do. I don't know when he's going to call me to do it, but I know he's calling me to surrender to him. And that's what he did. And he did that publicly in front of us. But he's also been faithful to preach the gospel here when I'm out of town or when I'm taking a day of rest or whatever. And he's preached the gospel to other churches. His wife, Brenda, has been faithful to help lead the women's ministry and other events and outreaches. Their family is always here, like many of you, faithful to serve the community and faithful to serve within the church. His children have been faithful and faithful parts of the children's and youth ministry. In fact, my kids, his kids, some of the other kids that are here today were the founding members of the Narrow Gate Youth Group, even though there was already a youth group, and we kind of relaunched the Narrow Gate Youth Ministry. And what to see what it's grown from 5 to 6 kids into sometimes almost 30 kids every Wednesday night, teenagers that come out, it's unbelievable. Dwayne's been faithful to help lead the men's ministry here at Fork Union Baptist. The Mountain Man Wilderness Revival is more like a grown-up backyard campout. We really aren't mountain men, but we like to believe that we are. But he kind of had that idea to start that. It was me, him, and another guy, and it expanded and expanded. And we just go camping for a night, and we get away from everything. We share testimonies. We share concerns, prayers. We just kind of let other men of God into our life and into our heart, and we allow God to work on us. We've seen mighty, mighty spiritual movements and healings when we just come together as men of God and we spend 12 hours together just focusing on our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with each other. Quest for Authentic Manhood. We did a study. There was a very long, in-depth study by Robert Lewis. I can tell you, by other people can tell you, right on where Scott at today. It made an impact on the men of this church that were able to come and were able to be there. You can look this up anytime, but Quest for Authentic Manhood, it was such a successful men's study that we did. We followed that up with a Man of God book that we read through. We did a study last time, and if you don't know, we're doing a church-wide study that Dwayne was a part of instituting that with other people in the church, other men that said, and other people that came together and said, we need to do this study. It's called The Insanity of God, and that's going to be starting April 5th, and that is not just going to be for the men, but that's going to be for the entire church. In fact, we're working on the youth group, may even be doing it on Wednesday nights as well. And so I'm looking forward to what God is going to do through that and through us. But anyways, another thing I just want to tell you, Dwayne is already serving here as a deacon here at Fork Union Baptist Church. He serves on our personnel committee, which is hard to get people to sign up to do that one. Kind of next in line is probably the property committee, right, Paul?
I'm in the nominating committee.
In the nominating committee. Nobody wants to be on the nominating committee. And like many of you, one of the things that I'm most thankful for Dwayne and his family, especially Dwayne, and many of you, he prays for me. He encourages me. Sometimes he rebukes me. But oftentimes he challenges me to be a better pastor, to be a better man of God myself, to be a better husband, to lead my family, a better father, a better friend. And last but not least, Dwayne has teamed up with the Seed Ministry, which Malcolm's going to come and share here in a few minutes. They've teamed up together, and he's teamed up with the Seed Ministry to go and help spread the love of Christ and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only to our community, but to all over the world, all over the world. And I'll let Malcolm will share more about that. I've witnessed his calling and his passion for worldwide ministry when we traveled to Uganda together. Just 2 years ago, 3 years ago, was it 3 years? Two years ago. I saw the passion that Dwayne has for sharing the gospel, sharing the tangible needs and helping people. He's been to Uganda 2 times, and he's got a Honduras trip planned with Malcolm again, Lord willing, here in April, that we're going to be sending them again and help send them again. So with that being said, this is what we're doing today. We are ordaining our own. And that's exactly what the church is supposed to do. The church is supposed to come together, and we're supposed to be making disciples. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's supposed to be what I'm closing with. But that's what we're doing today. We're acknowledging the fact that God is working in this place, in this body, and rising up another person who says, "Send me, Lord, I'll go." Amen? So I would ask Malcolm, if you'll come on up. Malcolm's got some words. And what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be sharing, as Malcolm comes up, we're going to be sharing and charging this family. We're going to be charging Dwayne. But also, whenever the Word of God is preached, whenever we open the Word of God and we read it, it is for all of us. So don't think that today is just about Dwayne. It is. But we're talking about the gospel. We're talking about the words of life. Come on up here, brother. Don't be sitting down there. Don't be a pew pilot. Come on up here. So with that being said, I present to you the one and only world renowned Malcolm Warfield for the Seed Ministry. Yeah.
You spoke this morning about how love conquers all fear. I love my wife dearly, but I'm scared to death of her. I don't want to make that woman mad. And there ain't a man in here that can't say the same. It's been an honor and a privilege just to know Dwayne, much less to work with him and Anthony. You know, when you spend 30 hours on airplanes and airports going one way, you kind of get to know somebody. And then when you're thrown into a tiny little room with no running water, no cold drinks, no hot water, you get to know them pretty good. Neither one of these men have ever lost their temper in those situations. I'm sure they have in others. But they continue to preach the gospel. I give you a case in point. We were all three in Uganda. And it's a wonderful thing to go on a mission trip because we start with some coffee in the morning and a devotion. You take turns. Each one does it in the morning. And to hear the scripture that these men pick and how it adheres to our lives is amazing. I'm going to tell you something else. 2 years ago, Dwayne and Anthony were with me. Anthony and I were busy doing something. I don't know what we were busy doing something. Dwayne spent every night talking to a young Muslim boy for hours, just sitting there talking with him, mentoring him, I guess you could say. Do you know, before those 2 weeks were up, that young man stood before the church we were at and gave his testimony. He gave his life to Christ and led the choir. This was all through his influence and God's movement to give him the words. Sometimes I don't have the patience. Jesus Christ himself gave us all a job. He says, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. And therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you. Dwayne stepped out the boat. He does that. I was talking to Dwayne one day on the telephone. And he says, hang on a minute. I got to go. And he hung up. 10 minutes later, he called me back. He says, no, there was a homeless guy walking down the road, and I had to go out and give him some water. That's the kind of man that you have here. But Christ always, whenever he gives us a job, he also gives us a promise. And the last verse of this says, and verily, I am with you always to the very end of the age. I would like to give Dwayne another charge. And I want to charge Dwayne exactly how Paul charged Timothy. Lord knows that I'm unworthy to do this. I'm not a pastor in the United States. I was ordained in Uganda by a team of 4 pastors. It took 2.5 days. They wore me out. But I could answer their questions because I know my word. So Dwayne, with this charge, I give you. And that is to preach the word, to be prepared in season and out of season, to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure the hardships. And do the work of an evangelist. And discharge all the duties of your ministry. That's a pretty tough charge. A lot of us go through our day. Things aggravate us. We get angry. Sometimes we say bad things about people we don't like. We're supposed to love each other. Some people are a little harder to love than others. You know, for over 15 years, Anthony will testify to this, I've had this piece of chain hooked to my watch band. I've been through a whole bunch of these cheap plastic watches, but I've kept this same piece of chain. It used to be nice and shiny. And people ask me, what do you have that thing on your watch for? Why do you carry that piece of chain? The answer to that comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And it is, pray for me also, that whenever I open my mouth, I may be given the words, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So this is to remind me every day that I am an ambassador in chains. What I do reflects not only on this church, reflects on me, reflects on my relationship with Jesus Christ. So some days I'll get it there and I just get aggravated. I mean to tell you what. I got this one great big farm that I do. It takes me 9 hours just to mow the grass before I even pick up a weed eater. One day I had 2 flat tires. Got them both fixed. Pumped them up with my little air tank. I'm starting to get frustrated. I broke a belt. Well, I'm really frustrated. Some of y'all know what a pain in the tuchus it is to put those belts on. Well, I finally got a spare belt from behind the seat and put it on. So I'm mowing around, and I'm just... I go past the pond, and here's 5 frogs just sitting there like this. I had to laugh. You know God put that in front of me just to lighten my day. I hate to be late. I'm driving to a client for an estimate, and I got behind one of those law-abiding citizens, you know, the one 40 miles an hour with the blinker light on. I'm getting frustrated. Finally, he turns off. I start to go like above the speed limit, sir. All of a sudden, here comes a squirrel. I hit the brakes. What, a squirrel goes 3 feet this way, jumps up in the air, turns around, goes 3 feet that way, jumps up in the air. He's twirling around in the road like a hula dancer. I just have to stop and laugh. I know God put that in front of me to ease my frustration. A lot of times we have to stop and look at the little things that God puts out there for us. So many times we just aimlessly drive by. I'm very repetitious in my one prayer, and that's thank God for this day. Because each day is a gift, a blessing, and a miracle. Think of those that wake up and don't have that day. We need to stop, look, and listen. God will speak to you in many, many ways. And many, many times, you won't get it. But when you do, you have to stop and smile. God put this man in my life for a reason. I'm at the age now, I don't like to drive at night. I'm very forgetful. My wife told me after this last trip, that's your last trip by yourself. You're not going by yourself anymore. Dwayne jumped right into it. Says, where you go, I go, brother. Says, I will be by your side. He's given up time at work, pocket money, time with his family. He's willing to go. He's one of the most dedicated, honest, and devoted individuals I have ever known in my life. And I'm proud to call him my brother. His family is amazing. The children are amazing. I won't call them children. They're just smaller people than me. But they know the Lord. He's taught them. He's shown them. Which is more important than your words. Your actions are so much more important than your words. So, brother, if you would, could you come up here? I would like to make you an ambassador in chains. Mm. And I give you this link to keep with you at all times.
I receive it. Thank you, my brother.
Amen. So for those of you who started packing up your stuff, I still got to charge myself. So just sit tight for just a minute. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn. Thank you for that, Malcolm. Thank you. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. The Lord laid this on my heart. Lay this on my heart this week to share with you, to share with Dwayne, but really to share with the church of what we're doing. And I have, if you know me, I preach with notes. I get long-winded. I've got one little sheet in front of me. So if I get long-winded today, it's the Holy Spirit. You can blame Him, not me. Amen? All right, y'all said amen, so that means you agree. So what are we doing here today? Why did Malcolm come and speak? Why are we calling this an ordination service? Why are we doing what we're doing? Dwayne, I want to tell you this morning why we're doing this, and I want to tell the church why we're doing this so we remember. We're not promoting Him. We're not putting Him on a pedestal. We're simply recognizing as a church the fruit that is being displayed through the calling of His life. That's it. Think about it. He is connected to the vine. The fruit is being displayed. The fruit is there. And God has called him and put a calling upon his life. And we are simply recognizing that with you, brother. Galatians 1, chapter 1, verse 1 says this. Once I find it. And this all this is Paul's greeting to this church, all right? What I really love about this, if you really look at the background of this, people were, they were really like skeptical of Paul. They were saying, where do you get your authority from? Who are you? Why should we listen to you? Listen what he says at the introduction of his letter. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself. And by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. I come to you this morning and I tell you, we don't appoint him as a minister this morning. We're confirming and we're agreeing with what God has said. Dwayne, you need to remember this, and I hope you will go back to this, that you are not appointed by Fork Union Baptist Church. You're supported by Fork Union Baptist Church. You're loved by Fork Union Baptist Church, but God is the one who has called you. It's no human authority, but Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who raised Christ from the dead, put the calling upon your life. Remember that. We need to remember that today. All right, if you want to flip over just a few pages to 2 Timothy, we're going to go there again. I didn't even know that Malcolm was going to preach there a little while and talk about that. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now, this is going to be a familiar verse for Dwayne. It's going to be a familiar couple of verses for my son, Blake, and for his son, Luke, because they've already heard me preach these to them. But it was in a private setting where we were charging our boys to be soldiers of Christ. But the God told me today, brother, that I need to remind you, and that he wants to remind you to be a good soldier for Christ. He's got his dog tags on right now. We had some dog tags made that say we're soldiers of Christ. This is what it says. He says, Timothy, again, like Malcolm said, this is Paul talking to this younger minister. And if you don't know this, I am younger than Dwayne. He's older than me. But somebody got that.
I think that's apparent, brother.
But he's talking to this younger minister. And he says this, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ. Soldiers don't get tied up in civilian affairs, for they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. So I want to give you three things that you've already heard before. But we're going to go a little bit further in depth. And God kept laying stuff on my heart. He told me this morning that he was at total peace. The devil's been trying to mess with him. And he said, "Now get out of here." And I said, well, I wasn't, because God kept waking me up last night, putting scripture on my heart and everything else. But I'm thankful for that. Number one, the first thing that a soldier of Christ has to do is this. They have to be strong in God's grace. Look back at verse 1. Look back at verse 1 in chapter 2. It says, "Dear Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus." So what does it mean to be strong in God's grace? What does it mean to stand strong in God's grace? That's the very foundation of a believer's life and a believer's faith is grace. And we sing the song Amazing Grace. We can talk about, oh Lord, you know, thank you for your grace and your mercy upon my life. But we tend to like cheapen it down a little bit. But what grace really is it's forgiveness that we had nothing to do with. We there's nothing we could do to ever create the grace that God gives for us, or to earn it, or to whatever. So I believe that when you're standing strong in God's grace, you have to go back constantly. I have to go back constantly. We all do. And remember, you were forgiven of every mistake, every sin that you ever have made, every mistake that you ever will make tomorrow, maybe later today, if you're like me. And you stand strong and you say, no, I stand in the grace of God. Because of what God gave me, I'm going to stand in that. It reminds us of the forgiveness we have. It also keeps us humble. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Again, just flip back over a couple. Go back to the towards the front of the Bible, just a few pages, and we'll go to Ephesians chapter 2. Very familiar verse that I'm going to share with you. Verse 8 through 10 says this. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Dwayne can't boast the fact that I am a minister and I am ordained. Not that he wants to, but I don't go around boasting that, look, I'm a pastor. I lead the church. That's not what it's about. It's about boasting about what Christ has done through us. We boast. Salvation is not a reward for it. It's nothing I did, but I want to boast about what Christ has done for me. Let me tell you why I'm allowed to be a pastor. Let me tell you why, what gives me the strength to do what I do. It's not me, it's Christ who lives in me. Amen?
Amen.
And it keeps us humble. Amen? I think that's what they've said. And the last thing that I see about being strong in God's grace that jumped out at me was it gives you strength. It gives you strength. Again, flip over a couple more pages back towards the front of your Bible to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And if we're leaving you behind, we're going to have some of it up there and the verses up there. But this is what it says in verse 8. And we're going to go down through verse 10 as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 8, I hear some pages turning, so we're not going to rush it. We're going to wait and let everybody catch up with us. I had mine marked. Paul says this. He's talking about the thorn in his flesh. He's talking about whatever people have skeptical, you know, they've speculated what it was. Was it this? Was it that? What was it that Paul was talking about? There was something in Paul's life that aggravated him. It's like Malcolm was talking about it. It kept him frustrated. Maybe it was a flat tire on his lawnmower that just kept going flat. Either way, he had a thorn in the flesh. Pastor Will got that joke. He says this three different times. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said this. Listen, church. Listen, Dwayne. And Brenda, listen to what he says. He says, my grace is all that you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness. I take pleasure in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Brother, I want to tell you in the ministry, you've already experienced this on missions trips. Malcolm talked about some of the uncomforts, which aren't even persecutions, which aren't even really insults. But there are going to be times, there are going to be situations, there are going to be people in your ministry that are a thorn in your side. Some people are easier to love than others, right? But you know what God does with that? A real minister who's called by God, he takes that person, that situation that is hard and difficult for me to deal with in my life to remind me of how much I need Christ to fulfill the calling upon my life. Because if I didn't have Christ, if I didn't have the purpose that He has called me to, if I didn't have His power, if I didn't have His Holy Spirit, if I wasn't striving to be like Christ Himself or to let His Spirit guide me, when something difficult came along in the church, I would quit. When someone was mean to me or insulted me in the church or whatever, I would give up. You would give up. But you go back and you say, Lord, You're teaching me. You're teaching me to be humble. You're teaching me that Your grace is all I need. Your grace is sufficient. It's all I need. And that Your power works best when I get out of the way, when I'm even if it means that I'm going through a struggle, when I am the weakest, that's when you're going to make me strong, because You're going to show it ain't nothing you can do, Anthony. It ain't nothing you can do, Dwayne. It's what I can do through You. So to be a good soldier of Christ, we've got to stand strong in that grace of God. And I want to encourage you, brother, to go back to that daily, hourly, stand bold in the grace that God gives you. Number two, if you're going to be a soldier for Christ, Paul told Timothy, you have to go out and teach others the good news that you've heard. Look at verse 2. Let's go back to 2 Timothy, sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, you've heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them along to others. Dwayne, Malcolm talked about it. The Great Commission is what we call it, what it's titled in our Bible. Matthew 28 verse 19. It says, go make what, church? What often we forget about that is it doesn't say go make believers. It says go make disciples. See, it goes deeper than us just telling somebody about Jesus. We should do that. But what Christ really wants us to do is He wants us to go make disciples, other students who are going to take what we tell them, what we've learned, the truth that we have, that the treasure that we have found, and we give it to them and we say, we trust You to take this and go out even further. And then they're going to tell somebody. And that's what discipleship really is. And so being a minister of the gospel isn't just me standing up here preaching for 30 minutes or 40 minutes on a Sunday. It's making disciples. It's what are you doing with the truth that I give you? Dwayne, what are you going to do with the truth that you know to be the truth? You're to go teach other people. That's what Paul told Timothy. Go teach them to other reliable people, trustworthy people who you know that will go pass them, that those truths on to other people. A good soldier for Christ will teach these truths to people who will pass them on to others. Look at verse 3 and 4 in 2 Timothy chapter 2. To be a good soldier, number 3, we must obey our enlisting officer. We have to be a good soldier. That's what he's talking about. A good soldier, doesn't matter what his enlisting officer says, he salutes and he says, yes, sir, I'll go do that. No matter how difficult, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how long it's going to be, whatever it is, he says, yes, sir. And he goes and responds and he does it. See, most people don't understand why a soldier would sign up for the Army anyway, right? Or the Marines or the Coast Guard or the Air Force, whatever it is, or the Navy. They say, why in the world would you do that, man? Do you know what's going on around the world? What if you get sent over there? What if you get killed? What if? They don't understand what would drive a soldier to go off to war and to leave everything behind when he knows that it could cost him some things. Jesus talked about that. He said, count the cost. You know, you have to count the cost before. He doesn't want you to start this ministry and to give up on it. He says, count the cost. A true soldier of Christ knows what he signs up for, and he obeys the enlisting officer. Most people don't understand why somebody would get on an airplane and go across the end of the world to share the gospel where nothing is guaranteed. You're walking away from all your comforts. They don't understand why you would do that. I've had people tell me this. They'll say, well, why in the world are you going to Africa? Why in the world are you going to India when there's people that are hungry right here in their community? And you know what my answer is to that? Well, if God's calling you to go feed them, go feed them. Right? You go do that. If you know about somebody who's hungry, go take care of it. Don't tell me that I shouldn't go somewhere else because there's something that you could do when I'm doing that. Or vice versa. It could be either way. Why would you want to be a pastor of a church? All the work you got to do, or all the things that you got to put up with, or whatever. You know, all the work that goes into preparing a message, or going on an overseas trip. It's dangerous, whatever it is. But a good soldier for Christ, what they do is they say, God, You've called me. You've put that call upon my life. And the call upon our lives are all different. Dwayne's just now tapping the surface, I believe, of what God is going to do with your life and through your family. Who knows? But as you've told me yourself, wherever God calls you, it's a sweet spot. He tells me that all the time. I'll tell him, I'll call him, and I'll tell him something that God did through the church, or is doing in the church, or doing in my life, or God, a prayer that's been answered, or in the church, or in my life, or that God has fought a battle for me, whatever it is. And he says, stay in the sweet spot, Anthony. He says, God's got you in the sweet spot. Don't mess it up. That's what he tells me. And so, Dwayne, this morning, I just can't believe that we're standing here today and this is what we're doing. But I don't ordain you. God ordained you this morning. He ordained you the moment you said, yes, Lord, here I am. I will be your witness. I'll be your minister. But we do stand before you and we tell you that we got your back. That we're going to pray for you. That we're going to be there just like you are for me, to pray for you and your family, to encourage you, sometimes to rebuke you. Brenda said she'll take care of that. But to also challenge you, to be faithful to do what God has called you to do. That's all that matters in life, is that if we do what God calls us to do. Be a good soldier for Christ, my brother. Be strong in His grace. Go teach others what you know and obey your enlisting officer. Amen? I want to tell you this morning, just because it's an ordination service and we've been focusing on my brother Dwayne and our brother Dwayne this morning, his family. What is the enlisting officer calling you to surrender to this morning? There's always power when someone shares their testimony. Or when you see someone else giving their life up for Christ or giving something or answering the call. I don't care who you are. It works in your heart. You say, you might be here today and you say, man, I wish that was me. I wish I had the faith to do that. Or maybe you're here today and say, I don't understand that. Why? What is this all about? Or maybe you're here today and God is calling you. Do you understand that I'm here with my arms open wide? Come to me. Come to the altar. Maybe you're here today and you just need to understand, or maybe you just need to accept the grace of God and the forgiveness that He's offered to us. That's where it started with Dwayne. Years ago when he had ran from the Lord and we heard his testimony, and when he finally became and gave his life to Christ, guess what? Christ says, it's wiped clean. Now let me start rebuilding the new Dwayne. That's what happened in my life. And that's what happened with anybody that's in here that's ever gave their life to Christ. God said, now I've got a clean slate to work with. Let me start building you to who you really were created to be. So if you're here this morning, no matter what step it is, and you're ready to start on that clean slate, or maybe you're here to take that next and let God put that next building block into your life to see what He's got for you, that's what this invitation time is for. So I would ask the choir to come on back up. We're going to sing this last song, and we're going to have a time of invitation. So if God is moving in your heart, and we're going to pray over Dwayne and his family at the very end to seal the deal and to commit their life and their family to the Lord. But before we do that, I don't want to end the service without giving someone else an opportunity to be obedient to answer the call of God this morning. No matter how big or no matter how small it is, He wants you to come this morning. Amen? So if God is calling you this morning, whatever it is, the angels in heaven, the Bible tells us, they're waiting to rejoice with you. Come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-4000. 3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care and God bless.